Good. How is everybody? We'll keep all the jokes out of the recording, or how poor Kai's Chinese is. I'm just kidding. Actually, how poor mine is. Any praises or thanksgiving this morning that we could start with? Let's just share for about a minute, and then I'll open up with a word of prayer. Yes, that's right. Your mom sent me an email during this week. This is Saviera's grandma on her dad's side. Right? She's in ICU. Your mom was telling me that she probably wouldn't even make it through the next few days. Is she a Christian, by any chance?
Yes.
She is a Christian. Okay. All right. Well, yeah. If you know, as long as she knows Jesus, she's called out to Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Then let's pray for Saviera's like grandma.
And also, I wanna give thanks to God's blessing that my dad was supposed to go to Vegas last week, but last Sunday.
Really?
He was going to stay in either Las Vegas or
Manila Bay. Wow. He was gonna stay at Mandalay Bay.
Because like me and my mom have like little argument.
Uh-huh.
And then he decides, because like the next day, my mom doesn't want me to give you a ride to church, and then he has to do that. So
He stayed to give you a ride to church and didn't go to Mandalay Bay. Wow. Praise God. That's cool. He wasn't going to the country music concert, right? For like meetings or something. Okay. Wow. Well, praise God. We've been praying for your dad, right? So God's been protecting your dad. Tell him he's got to start coming to church now with us. Good. Any other praises, thanksgivings? I have a praise that I shared already with Joshua, but last night Bex and I were just talking about the music worship team, and we just felt how blessed we were with that. And she was like, who was that playing piano? I was like, was that Joshua? And I'm like, yeah, I think it was Josh. It sounded really good. So praise God, we have a new addition to our worship team. Amen. Good. All right. You don't have to be shy. It's good. Praise God. All right. Any other praises, Thanksgiving?
I praise God that God is my son also
this way. Oh, okay. Oh, okay, good. Good. They came back? Oh, they're not here this morning? They had to go back?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, they're doing good. Hopefully in God's eyes.
Yes. Right. Good. All right.
In my eyes.
Yes. Anything else?
Oh, thank God that Philip turned 62.
Wow. I'm not sure if he wants us all to know his age. It's okay. Philip is 62.
And that is in good health.
Good. Amen. That's good. How about in the back table? Any thanksgivings? Praises?
One thing to thank God that our pastor Alex can open up by himself. I just finished listening to last Sunday's Sunday school. I was absent. Mm-hmm. And he is beating himself up, although doing that actually he said he's not an example of
humility,
but right. By saying that, actually it hit my mind that he's actually an example of humility to humble himself, to admit his own pride. And also hit me is because you have repeatedly mentioned the point that pride can be even more dangerous than pornography.
Yeah.
And I think I agree. Not that pornography is not sinful.
That's right.
But as long as you are a Christian brother, when you are addicted to pornography, you feel guilty from beginning to the end.
Yeah.
Even though you are watching, but you feel guilty.
Yeah.
During the watching or after the watching. But pride, you are blinded.
Yeah.
You're blinded, spiritually blinded.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Don't put me on the spot, That only goes to help my pride, not my humility, right? But yeah, I think I was sharing with another brother who's not at our church about that. He said, do you tell your congregation, your parishioners, he calls it, you know, do you tell your parishioners where you struggle? And I said, I think I do. He was telling me that sometimes it's very good, but there's also a downside to that, because you don't want to keep seeing your pastor, you know, let's say, struggling with the same sin over and over and over again, because that's an unrepentant behavior, you know. And he was wondering, does that help brothers and sisters or not? So I think I'm on my own journey on that. I think Pastor James, he's on his own journey on that as well. And, you know, we're new pastors, so, you know, we might not be doing it right. But I know for myself that I usually speak from the heart. That might get me in trouble sometimes. I don't think that's an example of humility. I just think it's because it is, this topic's just too real for me. And it's something that I know I'm sensitive to. And I praise God, at least. I amen what you said, Brother Michael, because at least that God has made me sensitive to pride, and to my own pride especially. So I know that as one of my favorite cartoon characters when I was young, I didn't watch that much, but G.I. Joe said, what did he say? Knowing is what? Half the battle, right? So knowing is half the battle, right? We're not quoting Proverbs this morning, we're quoting G.I. Joe. But knowing is indeed half the battle. If you're able to know it and see it, and you're almost disgusted by it, that's a good place to be, and I praise God for that in my life. So thank you for your sharing. Let's open up with a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with a heart of thanks, a heart that desires to praise you, because, Lord, if anyone boasts, may we boast in our Lord Jesus Christ. If we boast, may we boast in the things of our God. If we boast, will we boast of the work of God in our life. So, Father, we look to you. You are the answer. You are the hope. You are the key to unlocking these areas of our life that we are blinded to. And so we look to you this morning. Would you help us, O Lord? Father, thank you for the brothers and sisters as we earnestly not want to study this as a mere exercise for our mind, but that we are earnestly seeking to be saved from our pride that does destroy, that does kill, that does malign the way we live our life. So, Father, we thank you for this morning, and we pray that your Spirit ultimately would be the one convicting our hearts and then giving us courage to repent and to live a life not one that is filled with pride, but one that is more and more learning the humility of Christ. We thank you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we started looking at these verses 25 through 33, and our journey of pride begins with one of the first woes, right? One of the woes that Isaiah pronounces against the Israelites and Judah, right? Kingdom of Israel. And so we're looking at pride. We're going to keep going on pride today. However, I wanted to show you the second woe as well, just so that, you know, I think sometimes when we study one topic throughout the whole Sunday school class, it could get a little bit heavy. But I wanted you to notice something. If you didn't, in this week's reading of your devotionals, by the way, if you have been doing your devotionals, and we were praising God as Saviera told us about the events in Las Vegas. Okay, so I'm going to change gears twice now. As you were reading your devotionals, was there anything this week that stood out to you? Yes or no? Yes? Yes. Some of you are nodding your heads. What day? Do you guys remember? Tuesday. That's right. Because in Tuesday, okay, so I'm just going off track. I'm going off twice now. On Tuesday, the reading in Isaiah was talking about what? God's triumph over Assyria and his destruction of the enemy. And specifically, there was a place called Topheth. Okay? And do you remember what Topheth was? Because Topheth is a place, it says Topheth in verse 33 has long been prepared. It has been made ready for the king, verse 33. Its fire pit has been made deep and wide with an abundance of fire and wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of burning sulfur, sets it ablaze. And that's where the Lord is going to destroy the enemy king. This place called Topheth. Do you know what Topheth was used for? Topheth was a place where the Assyrians, specifically the king and the priest of Assyria, that's where they had religious sacrifice. Topheth. And Topheth was where they would sacrifice children. So they would take babies, the children of their people, to sacrifice to their idols. You guys get that? And yet, this is the place where God says, I have prepared Topheth to destroy the enemy. I am going to eliminate wickedness at the place where they performed wickedness. You see that? And it strikes so true to the events of Las Vegas shooting. As you think about all the places around the world where wickedness has occurred, and God almost through this passage is saying, everywhere wickedness was performed, there I will punish and strike down those who perform the wickedness. Right? That room in Mandalay Bay. Imagine that being the place where wickedness occurred, and that's where God's going to judge the wicked. Where it's going to be turned back. The tables will be turned back onto the wicked. You see that? Sometimes the reading that we go through is so... It's just almost set up, appointed by the Lord. Right? And I bet you that all the other people going through Isaiah with us in this devotional around the world, by the way, right? Because there's tons of other churches doing the same thing that we are. That many brothers and sisters, as they're doing their devotions on Tuesday, would have said, thank God for your word and thank God for your ultimate judgment. Thank God that ultimately you will reign over all of the wickedness of the world and you are going to destroy it all and reserve for us a new heaven and a new earth. Amen? Okay. Right? So, man. Yeah, Bex and I were doing Tuesday's reading, and she asked me, oh, man, did you read today's devotional? I'm like, yes. And it was just so appropriate. It's so appropriate, right? So, just amen for God's word. Back to our regularly scheduled program. Well, if you read Wednesday's devotional, then you would have seen something like this, the second woe. Okay, let's read this together. Isaiah 31:1. Ready, go. Man, if you read Wednesday, this was a great reading too, right? This made me pause and think and reflect. This has been a theme as we have read through Isaiah. What is that theme as we've been reading through Isaiah? Have you seen it in your devotionals quite a bit? What has that theme been? There's a theme that's constantly asked as we've read through Isaiah. What is it? You guys know? You know, okay. We talked about it. You talked about it with me. You said, I've seen this over and over again in a devotional, right? It's, where do I put my trust? Where do I put my trust? And so this morning, we see that rather than seeking help from the Lord, the people of Judah decide to make an alliance with Egypt because the nation's so strong. Egypt's so strong and so trustworthy, it seems. They think that they are being wise by trusting in the strength of Egypt. And what they fail to realize, however, is that the Egyptian horses cannot obviously compare to the power and the might of God. Isn't that true? This has been going throughout the book of Isaiah. We've been seeing a lot of this. Oh, Israel, where do you put your trust? When things are getting stressful for you, Isaiah, where are you running to? How do you try to get the solutions that you need? Who are you asking for advice, Israel? Who do you seek advice from? Who are you learning from? Right? So, I wanted you to discuss this morning in your groups, where do people today, where do people go to for help?
Google.
Dude, you know what? Freeman, I am so, that's exactly what I think too. Right when I wrote this question, I'm like, where do we go? How do I do something? How do I know? You know, how do I invest? How do I save money for college? How do I save money for braces? How do I save money for what? You know, like Google, how do I save money for college, right? You're right. I totally amen that. And where does Google lead us to? All types of things. Google is a gateway to all types of things, right? So, Freeman took the best answer already this morning, Google. It's true. I mean, you go on Google and you ask the most common, well-sought answers. How do you relieve stress? How do you find peace? How do you deal with problems in your family? Problems in your marriage? How do I help my, you know, it's all in Google. They're all commonly searched things. So I want you right now to talk in your group for about 1 minute. Where else do people, or where does Google take you? Or where do people find their help? If you're a person in the world today, Christian or non-Christian, where do most people go to for help? How do you learn how to do life? Where do you got, you know, how to find a job? How to find next job? How do I tender my resignation? I mean, Google has everything. But if you don't have Google, or where does Google take you? Who do you ask? Where do you seek advice? Where does the world go to for help? All right, talk about that. Be as specific as you can. And I will pause this. So people don't have to listen. I'll pause this right now. So let's hear. What do you guys say? Where do people go to for help these days? Let's go around the room, okay? What do you guys say?
From experienced people.
Experienced people. Okay. Next group. Parents, friends?
Friends.
Even inexperienced people. How about in the back?
I go to Baidu.
No search engines, man. I know what Baidu is. I don't know how to use Baidu. The Chinese Google. Okay, next group.
Professionals.
Oh, the experts. Not even friends. Go to the experts. Oh, you pay for advice. Wow. Woo. Okay, here. Oh, coworkers even, right? Because you're talking to coworkers, books, great, okay. Professionals. Okay, yeah, see, you see, as people get older, it goes from like friends and people, inexperienced friends, all the way to, you know what, I pay for advice. Because, and you know what, that's an easy marketing. That's an easy marketing thing. Why is it easy for a professional to market themselves a certain way? The more money I charge, the more credentialed I seem, right? The more you're willing to pay for my service, a free water bottle. You know? You get a free water bottle, right? Right? Or you seem like there's gonna be better advice because you're now paying more. Man, I'm not gonna go to just my friend's advice. Not even my experienced friend advice, I gotta pay for it. That's when I know it's good advice. Is that even true? Not necessarily. Okay. Second question is, why do you think it is easy for Christians to turn to these things as well? Why do you think it is easy for Christians to turn to the same things that the world turns to for help? Why is that? Somebody give me some answers. Go ahead, sir.
I say probably just one is sometimes give you immediate answer response.
Okay.
According to more of your timing thing.
Okay, because it's a timing thing. I got to ask my inexperienced friend as fast as I can. man, tell me, man, how do I find a job? Seriously. Oh, go Starbucks, you know? Right? Okay, age before beauty, so now beauty can...
Because everyone else does it and it's easy.
Okay, because everyone else asks the world around them and it's easy. I want you to talk in your groups now for a second on what areas you think you see that Christians shouldn't put that much trust in this thing of the world. Christians in general. Where are Christians that you see in the world today? Where are we putting our trust when it's not in the right place? Okay, so talk about that in your groups just for a few minutes. Okay, let's come back together on that question, right? So the question was where do we in the world as Christians, where are we putting our trust? And when we ought to be putting our trust more in the Lord. Okay, so that's getting a little more specific. So we're going to start with this group and we'll work our way backwards, okay? What do you guys say right here?
Parenting.
Give me an example. Again, very specific. Milton's like, please. Milton's like, why am I in this class with my mom? Okay, great. Sorry.
SAT class.
SAT class.
Additional classes.
Yes.
So they would miss their Sunday.
Okay.
Miss fellowship.
Yes.
It's okay because everyone is doing it.
Yes.
For the future.
That's right. Okay. Thank you. Great example. Great example, right? Because we're just following the advice of the world. We're following whatever someone said, we're just doing whatever the world does around us. So we're putting our trust in that. I mean, they're putting all their kids in SAT and tutoring classes and all that on Saturday night, Sunday. You know, why shouldn't I do that? Of course I should do that for my children. I got to keep up with the world. I got to do what they're doing or we're going to lose out. Because there's strength in that, isn't there? There's strength in tutoring class. There's strength in whatever you call that class. What's it called? Elite. Right?
elite.
That's why it's called elite, because it is the elite thing to trust. Wow.
You know,
good. Thank you. Great example.
You think it's funny, but
I don't think it's funny, but.
That's not. But it happened to me too when I was younger.
Yes.
Then I realized that I was wrong.
Right.
And you know what? My kids came on Fridays and Sundays.
Right.
And you know what? They did well. So
they did very well.
It's my kids. I think that I went through. And it's a testimony. That
that's right. Amen.
It's true.
Amen.
It's true that nowadays when I hear the younger mom saying that they miss that, and I try to tell them that.
That's good.
That is not really the most important.
Can you do that more? Can you do that more? tell more moms, because this is true. This is a very big thing that we face specifically at this church. You know. Asians are very devoted to success.
Yeah, and also now I'm going to tell my younger sisters.
Yes, yes.
That it doesn't matter to go to get a good, to have a good job, a good profession. That's not that important. The most important thing is if your kids love the God.
Yes, that's right. Amen. That's right. But it's hard, isn't it? It's hard. But Mabel has to go through the thought process of, okay, do I believe in your testimony to trust in God? What if my son is going to be homeless? He very likely will be a failure in life without this. He's going to be roaming the streets with a raggedy beard. And what are we going to do? Until the day he's called to be a pastor, right? You know, he and Freeman are going to be the pastors, right? Okay, good. All right. Let's. Right. So, I wanted to start at the 30 mark at the top of the hour, so I could go into the pride discussion. But look, I think we all in your groups talked about where we have a tendency to trust in the things of the world. This is this week's reading, guys. I just typed up what was in the devotional. So when you read the devotional, like, this is what you got on Wednesday, 10-4, this week. And if you spend time in it, hopefully you're reflecting, like, some of these are my own reflection questions for you guys for the class, but ultimately, I hope that right now you think for yourself, where do you turn to when you desire for more strength and wisdom? Where do you turn, brother and sister? Where are you looking to right now? And I know that all of us don't feel that you're the only one. You're like Israel, who's looking to Egypt for help. Because in your eyes and in the eyes of the world, Egypt looks strong. Egypt looks strong. And it's more practical, and that everyone else is going to Egypt. Everyone else is going to elite SAT. It's not even that elite SAT is wrong. It's the attitude issue, right? It's how you go about this. But everyone has something in your life where you are trusting in more than you are trusting God. And I wanted to use this morning for you, because as Kai talked with me, he said, man, every time I'm reading in the book of Isaiah, God's challenging me. Where do I put my trust? Where do I put my trust? And it is. This is a constant theme. Where are you putting your trust today? What area of your life are you trusting in the ways of man and not in the ways of God? So I wanted you to think about that. Write that down. Think about that. Brothers and sisters, don't leave Sunday school. Don't leave Sunday with, wow, that was great to think about, and then I let it go. Let this stay with you. Let things in the worship service stay with you. Let the things in Sunday school be something that you start chewing on Monday morning and go, God, you spoke to me on this. Now I got to keep working on this. Why? It's Monday. I'm putting now my trust in Egypt. God, help me to shift. Help me to turn from this. With me? You guys with me? Okay. So back to our regularly scheduled program. We are on the first woe, though. We're going to go back to the first woe, which is pride. Okay? And this was the article from Desiring God. And think, and we're reading an article by Jonathan Edwards. We're going to spend our last 15 minutes doing that, continuing what we did last week. And I just wanted to remind you where we came from. Okay? Because Daniel, thank you, Daniel, for taking notes for us. And if you could do it again this week, that'd be great. These are the notes that Daniel took down for us as we read just three paragraphs. Three paragraphs, that's all we read. And these are the notes that Daniel took for us. And I thought it was very helpful. And I reorganized them, just a few. I didn't retype them, but can somebody read the first one for me? Let's not take time with it.
When you're proud, you don't feel you need any help or advice from anybody, so you ignore the advice from others.
Okay. That's what you guys said. When you are proud, you don't feel you need any help or advice from anybody. So you ignore advice from others. Whether people tell you or you don't even seek advice from other people. When was the last time you went to a trusted brother or sister and you asked a question? Brother, how do people see me? Sister, how do people see me? Brother, are there some areas in my life that are not on track with the way that God would want it to be? Have you ever asked that question to a brother or sister? And hopefully, they don't say, oh, no, you're so good and godly. Oh, no, you're perfect. That's not the right brother or sister to go to. Or at least you need to say, come on, seriously, you know that's not true. I'm looking for an honest feedback. In my life, there are a few people who I can go to for that. And you know what? I don't mind if I asked any of you. I wouldn't mind. I mean, don't come running to me and say, hey, I have a bunch of things to tell you, okay? That's going to discourage me, okay? But if I ask you, I hope you'll be honest with me. If I say, brother, how do people see me? Are there issues in my personality? Are there issues in my character, brother? Would you think about that and tell it to me, please? I want to know. Have you done that before? Have you gone to a sister and said, hey, can we go out for coffee? Are there things that you see in my life that are not the way it ought to be? That there are things that are holding up my testimony? There are things that I might not be approaching life the right way? Would you ask someone to do that? What holds you back? Your pride, isn't it? Your pride prevents you from doing that. There have been brothers who have asked me the same question. Not even my closest friends. Just brothers actually at church who have said to me, who asked me, hey, is there something that you see in my life? Like, is there something that is a blind spot that I don't see? And I'm like, hey, do you want it to hear it the easy way or do you want to hear it the hard way, you know? Because we all see things. I mean, we could probably go around this room and start to write down things that we see in other people, isn't there? I mean, it's just the fact of the matter. I also tell brothers a lot that's one of the reasons why I love sports so much. I love sports so much. Sports bring out your true colors. Because you can't help it in the time of competition. It'll bring out your color immediately and everyone will see it. To the point where I've had brothers say to me, long time ago, decades ago, you know what, I'm not going to play anymore. I'm not going to play with people at church. And I said, why? Because look at how my testimony became. It was one of our youth counselors when I was younger. And he just, we're getting heated in the game. And he just ruined his testimony. Ruined his testimony, he felt. And he said, I just don't want to do this anymore. And I said, that's, and I'm the younger, you know, I'm the council lead, right? You know, I'm like, brother, no. I said, sports does the same thing for me. It brings out the worst part of my personality that I thought that I'm already over. But it's not. It's not over. And I think it's great. He goes, but I don't want people to see this testimony of me. I'm like, the testimony is not how good you are on the basketball court. The testimony is watching you grow from this. That's what you want people to see. The testimony is you want people to see you fail and yet to see God's grace continue to build you up again the right way. The testimony, so then, as Michael said, well, Pastor Alex, you're so humble because you've shared transparency. Well, I hope I'm humble. I'm not there yet, honestly. But if you know that your pastor struggles with pride, but if over time, if over the next 50 years, because you know it's going to take a long time, you see that God changes the pride in your pastor's heart, I think you'll be able to say amen. Thank God for the Holy Spirit's work in our life. Right? That's the testimony. That's the testimony that people will see that you're growing from it. But pride prevents you from wanting to listen to that at all. Right? Pride makes us feel that we don't need to listen to others, and instead we justify our own behavior. You guys said this. Pride makes us do what we do, and we said we have a good reason for that. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Pride says, even for the other woe, trusting in Egypt, pride makes you go, yes, it's right to trust in your bank account. Yes, it is right to trust in SAT school. Yes. Pride tells you everything that you're doing is right. Pride is the first and worst cause of errors. Pride distorts the ways we see things. Pride makes us not see the world the right way. It makes us not see our life the right way. And pride causes us to live our life the wrong way. And we ask the question, can a Christian actually live a messed up life due to pride? And the answer is yes. Are you living a messed up life right now because of pride? You can't see yourself clearly when you have pride, you guys said. You guys said this. It has messed up the way we see ourselves. People who say, I know this already. I've heard this already. Know it, done that, I know it. The more you say that out loud, the more you say it in your heart, that's a barometer of pride. Because you can't learn anymore. You can't learn. Or the words of God and the words of the sermon are just bouncing off you. They're literally, the words of God are coming and they are bouncing off of you. Boom. Oh, I know it already. Boom. Oh, I've heard this before. Boom. This doesn't need to change me at all. Right? I mean, how many times have you sat in a sermon and go, oh, I know this already. You know what? It's your pride that's preventing you from spiritually growing from that. Every sermon you are able to grow from. But how many sermons have you deflected away? How many times of reading the Word of God have you deflected because your pride says, I know this already. I don't need to think about this. I don't need to let this trickle into my life. You guys with me? So I pray, I hope, that as I'm getting all intense up here with deflection, right? Like, I hope that our heart says, I don't want pride. I don't want to be like that. God, give me a humble and submissive and a soft spirit, a soft heart that says, Lord, I know I may have heard this before, but, you know, just like my kids, right? There are certain things that we say to our kids over and over and over again. But why are we saying it to them? Because they really need to hear it. Guess what? All the times that you're saying, I've heard this already, God. I already know this. Maybe God's saying, I'm repeating this to you for a reason, you know? Like, this is like the 10th time I'm telling you, and this is the 10th time you're saying, I already know this. But you don't. You don't. You're not changing. You're not being transformed by it. You guys with me on that? That's what pride is doing to us. Okay? So these are all the things that we talked about. Okay? So I'll just stop there. You can look at it in the notes. You know, I could have Daniel send that out to you each week. He'll take notes for us again for our last, like, few minutes. Okay? So let's look at the article. And who does not have a copy of the article? Who does not have a hard copy that wants one? Do you want one?
Yes.
Did you get one last week?
No.
Good. Okay. It's 2 pages. It's also on your email, okay? Just pass this down to Sophia, please. And who else wants a hard copy? Okay, did you get one already last week?
No.
Okay, I'm like a total like cheap paper giver. Because I don't like to kill trees. We go green at this church. Just kidding, we don't. We're totally not green. We are totally burning a hole in the ozone. Last copy, anyone? Let's continue to ruin God's creation. Anybody want to take it? Just kidding. Just kidding. Don't justify it. Don't justify your behavior, Auntie Kim. Okay, Auntie Kim. Okay, we got through five paragraphs last week. Okay, we got through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, let's go to the next section. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay? Those who are most zealous in the cause of God are the most likely to be targeted, listen to this, as being filled with pride. Right? Those who are most zealous, right? You're so on fire for God, you're likely to be targeted as being filled with pride. When any person appears in any respect to be noticeably excelling others in their Christian walk, odds are 10 to 1 that it will be immediately awakened the jealousy of those around him. They will suspect, whether they have good reason to or not, that he is very proud of his goodness and that he probably thinks no one as good as he is, so that everything he says and does is observed with this prejudice. That's not fair. Those who are themselves cold and dead, especially those who have never had any experience of the power of godliness on their own hearts, will easily entertain such thoughts of the best Christians. This arises from nothing less than a secret hostility or anger, right, against essential and fervent holiness. But the zealous Christian should take heed that this does not prove a snare to him, and the devil take advantage of it to blind his eyes from beholding the true nature of his heart, and to think that because he is charged with pride wrongfully with an unkind spirit, that such charges are not sometimes valid. Alas, how much pride the best have in their hearts. It is the worst part of the body of sin and death, the first sin that ever entered in the universe and the last that is rooted out. It is God's most stubborn enemy. What do you guys get out of this section right here? It's speaking to two types of people. Two types of people. The first is talking about who? Those who are what?
Zealous.
Those who are, can we use words that we normally use, please? Because you guys don't use the word zealous. Those who are strong in their faith, those who are growing in their faith. But the first part is writing not to the person who's strong and growing in their faith. It's written to who? Those who are jealous of those who are growing. Oh, does this happen to you when you're seeing someone grow at church? I don't know. Maybe it doesn't happen. But does it happen to you? I don't know. I'm thinking for myself. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, I get jealous of people. I don't know if because they're more spiritual than me. I'm not sure. Maybe I have pride going on, right?
Thinking loud too much.
Yeah, I'm thinking loud too much. Okay. Yeah, I keep it to myself. All right. Look good. Look like a good pastor. Okay, so what is this saying? What is this saying about people who are jealous of Christians who are growing? It says what? Watch out. You probably have pride. But it's also saying to the good and growing Christian, what?
Not to fall into the trap.
Don't fall into the trap. Don't start getting arrogant just because you're loving God more than others. What is one sign? What is one sign as Pastor James and I have been preaching about serving God, what is one sign that I've shared that is showing a problem in your service when you're actively serving God and you're really on fire and you're doing it for God, but all of a sudden you start to ask another question? What would that question be? Why am I the only one doing this? Why aren't other people doing this? Is that what you said?
Close.
Okay? Yeah. Well, you're partly right then. And you're partly wrong, right? Because it's the question of saying, wait a second, why am I the only one? Why am I the only one setting up chairs? Why am I the only one setting up tables? Why am I the only one doing this? How come other people are not doing anything? Right? That's when pride starts to come in to the heart of the Christian. Okay? All right, so that's that section. Check out this next section. Oh, man. I wanted to get through, like, yikes. Okay, let's go to this. Oh, boy. Okay, let's get through this. Pride is much more difficult to be discerned than any other corruption because of its very nature. That is, pride is a person having too high of an opinion of himself. Is it any surprise, then, that a person who has too high an opinion of himself is unaware of it? His thinking is that he thinks that the onion he has of himself has just ground. Oh, onion. Well, the reason why I read onion is because later on it talks about layers of an onion, okay? Like, I'm actually reading and reading forward at the same time. Can you do that? I'm so proud. Okay. Right? Opinion of himself. I'm so proud. Okay. If the grounds of the onion of himself has crumbled, he would cease to have such an opinion. Okay? Just kidding. But because of the nature of spiritual pride, it is the most secret of all sins. That's why I compare it to pornography. There is no other matter in which the heart is more deceitful and unsearchable, and there is no other sin in the world that men are so confident in. The very nature of it is to work self-confidence and drive away any suspicion of any evil of that kind. There's no sin so much like the devil as this for secrecy and subtlety, and appearing in great many shapes that are undetected and unsuspected. Spiritual pride takes many forms and shapes, one under another, and encompasses the heart like the layers of an opinion. Right? When you pull one off, there is another underneath. Therefore, we have need to have the greatest watch imaginable over our hearts with respect to this matter, and to cry most earnestly to the great searcher of hearts for his help. He that trusts his own heart is a fool. Since spiritual pride in its own nature is so secret, it cannot be so well discerned by immediate intuition on the thing itself. It is best identified by its fruits and effects, some of which I will mention of below, together with the contrary fruits of Christian humility. What do you guys see in these three paragraphs here? What do you guys see in these paragraphs that really stand out to you? And I'll highlight it.
I think it's talking about me.
Okay. I think it's talking about me, though. Good. Anything in here that you want me to highlight?
That you can't trust your own heart.
Okay, where is that?
Third paragraph after the last
sentence. Okay. He that trusts his own heart is a fool, right? Because there's something that talks about deceit, right? Where is that?
The second paragraph.
Second line? Oh. There is no other matter in which the heart is more deceitful and unsearchable. Right? Yes. Jeremiah says that the heart is deceitful. We love to lie to ourselves. Lie to me, heart. Oh, tell me what I'm doing is right. Tell me what I'm doing is okay. Tell me that my pride is fine. Tell me even to the other woe. Tell me, heart, that because I'm trusting in this, that I'm in the right. Isn't that what the heart does? When I have a problem with people at work, my heart tells me it's not your fault, it's their fault. You don't have any error. When you have a problem with a relationship with your mom and your dad, your heart tells you it's them, not me. When you have a problem in your marriage, your heart tells you it's not me, it's always them. It's because she is that way. That's the problem in our marriage. It's them, not me. See, the heart is very, very deceitful, isn't it? It's always finding the reasons to make us believe that we're in the right. Good, thanks for bringing that up, Lucy. What else do you see in here?
There is no sin so much that, like, the devil...
Ooh, why? Why is that?
It's just the one sin that pretty much exemplifies it to the devil.
Right. This is the first sin that we are aware of in all of the universe. And that was a sin of Lucifer because of his pride, wasn't it? What was the first sin of Adam and Eve? It was pride. Ooh. That's why this trumps pornography to me, man. Not that pornography is not wrong, like Michael said. It's just this is so devious, so deceptive. There's no sin, like Milton said, so much like the devil. This is the original of sins. Good. Anything else here?
When it says that spiritual pride takes many forms, and then the next sentence is therefore we have need to have the greatest watch over our hearts. So what Bethany was saying, we need God's help in detecting.
Yes.
We think like we'll just self-examine, we can figure it out, but actually you can't even see some of the pride.
Yes, there's somewhere else that it says that too, that we need God for this. Where does it say that?
Last sentence. Or under the greatest watch.
Mm-hmm. Say again. Say what? Greatest watch. Oh, yes, that's correct. Cry earnestly to the great searcher of hearts. Right? Only God ultimately can help with this, right? Right? Okay, good.
Pride is a layer of onion.
Mm-hmm.
You peel one layer off, you think, oh, I'm okay now.
Oh, yes.
There's another layer.
Isn't that true? That's so true with pride. There's layers. It's like, man, you think, that's why if you heard my story, I like to tell of my recent hiking trip to Mount Baldy. I've told it a few times now. Dude, it brought out a new layer of my pride, a new layer. When I thought that, even Beck said to me, I thought you dealt with this already. I thought you already dealt with this. I was like, why are you so mean to me? Beck says the great discourager, okay? I'm like, why? No, obviously, it is not. And if you're curious as to the story of my pride, I will share with you one day, okay? Just ask me over lunch or something. I'll tell you how crazy it comes out for me. Okay, good. Anything else?
I think the first paragraph of having a too high opinion of ourselves is, one, you're usually not aware of it. But two, if we are aware of it, we feel like we have just ground and it's not too high. And so I think it's a tough spot to be in.
Okay, yes.
It's really opposite from, like, blessed is the poor in spirit.
Right, correct. Right, you don't have blessing if you're in pride, guys. Woo! You don't have that covering. Right? So, I wanted to get into the first category, but we'll do it next time. And I want you to feel free to read it at home. This is stuff, Jonathan Edwards is a type of reading that you can like read. Was that funny? You can read it over and over again. I've read a number of his sermons, writings, essays over and over again, just because I know you guys are learning to read, okay? That's a nicer way to put it, right? You guys are learning to read, and that's okay. And it's good. So what we're going to be doing next week, and I think we can even try, are you guys okay with talking through an article through the whole class? Because if you are, then like I didn't do that today because I thought it might be too much for you. But if you all agree to it, just nod your heads yes, if you're okay with it. We're going to go through all these categories. There's seven. The great fault finder. Ooh. Ministering in a harsh spirit. Putting on pretenses. This stuff is really going to start to get very accurate with stuff. There's seven characteristics of areas where you can find pride in your life. There's more, but Jonathan Edwards finds seven very good areas of what he is calling spiritual pride. Okay? So this is very specific for Christians. And you could get a head start to read it and take notes on it so that our class time can go a lot faster. Okay? Anyone like to pray for us to close?
Lord, I just want to thank you for this time for all of us brothers and sisters to come together and learn more about our own secret sins and the sins we don't realize all the time. I just want to thank you for Jonathan Edwards again, like last week, for just blessing him with like these huge or tiny, I guess, like words of wisdom. Yes. That like we don't often appreciate, and often actually we don't even like know that it's there sometimes. I just want to also thank you again for the sermon that's coming up and that we learned from it, and for when we eat together at lunch or eat with whoever we learn eat together with, that we fellowship and it's not just like kind of shallow conversations, I guess, but like where you actually get below the surface. Yes. I guess, and like talk about meaningful things that aren't just like revolving around the world or like your success or anything else like that. I just want to ask you to bless the remainder of the day, and in Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. 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 All right, thank you, class. By the way, if you can try, let's try to have a habit of being on time.